welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And here we are in December. And this radio program is for December the 5th, 2020. I am grateful you're here, and I hope I'm able to help a few of you that have written in, and maybe more of you that are listening, because everybody has these kinds of questions, and I've entitled this program, I Try, But. And we're going to look at the try and the but and see what we can come up with. And I am honored and thrilled that I even get these questions. I want to thank you for contributing to the program. Your questions are amazing. They're frank and they're to the point, and I like it. And if you can't be direct, as Lily Tomlin said, why be? Just go for it. And I agree with that. So let's get into it. I want to talk a little bit about, before we get into this, the preamble, how the mind questions things, how the mind works. You have to understand, we have not been taught how to take care of our minds. When we were little people, our parents didn't sit down with us and talk about the mind and how to think, or the way the mind works and how it thinks on its own. And so we were given food and entertainment and care, place to live, a place to sleep, an education of some sort. And in all of that, what was ignored was the obvious, which is, how does my mind work? Why does my mind work the way my mind works? We just don't get into that. We don't comprehend it. It's not something that means much to us. We just assume that the mind is the mind that we have, and there's nothing you can do about it. And the best thing you can do is try to control it or try to change it a little bit here and there. And it can't be done. It just very, very rarely does anyone do anything with their mind that is beyond the confines of the pedestrian mentality. So if you're smart, you'll always be smart. And if you don't think you're smart, you'll always be whatever that is, dumb, or whatever you choose to look at it. You don't realize all throughout the course of the lifetime what the mind is, what it does, how it works. I would highly recommend you read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. If you are really interested, it will help you. But these are things that I have learned over the years of my career, in my own life, in my own practice, the things I learned in India. So I share with you what I share here. You can take it or leave it. Most people would leave it. And that's just the way we're built in this country. We have a lot of arrogance going on. Okay, the first question. This is from Childs. I don't know where Childs lives. I understand the importance of spirituality, but I just can't deal with it. I don't understand it. I listen to you every week, and I am frustrated because I know what you're trying to do, but at the same time, I can't do it. Any ideas he put down here, or instruction he put in? Childs, first of all, I want to thank you for, you know, your beautiful email and the extent you went to explain it and your position. I wanted to, that very few people ever do that. Mostly what I get is just a rash of problems and name calling, and I'm very grateful for your kindness. Inner work, spiritual work, is not considered a necessity in our world today. Most people can't understand it. They don't think they need to. They're more into the politics of the country than they are in the heart of the nation, as it were, their own inner nation, as well as the bigger picture. We really do not understand ourselves. We live in a nationalism about what's right and wrong, good and bad, our morals, our beliefs, our whole thing. It's just ugly, ugly, ugly. And we like it ugly. We like to make it even uglier. So when we get down to the nitty-gritty of what the meaning of life is and the meaning of spirituality, it is really one thing, and it begins with one element, and that is removing conflict from my own thoughts, removing the conflict that I imagine, the craziness of Greg's mind, and how he imagines this is happening and that is happening and this could happen and that could happen and all of the ideas of coming up with 2 and 2 make 5. He's already arrived at 5. He already thinks that the equation is wrong, not his answer. And that's the problem with most of us. So just on a general basis, Childs, it's hard for people to really understand the nature of deep spirituality, of personal transformation. Most people can't do it. They don't want to do it. They don't think it's necessary. They don't think it pertains to them. It's just basically insane for them to think that there's anything less than what they believe in or more than what they believe in. They play games within themselves. The problem really is we didn't take care of our minds. And I say this to my students over and over and over again. And what does that mean? It means that not every thought should be thought of, as it were, as a necessity or as reality. Just because a thought appeals to me doesn't mean that that is real, doesn't mean that that is authentic. You can have all sorts of thoughts about all sorts of things in your life. Thoughts about right, wrong, good, bad, what is moral, what is immoral, what is true, what is not. They're all thoughts. And most people want to try to resolve them through logic and reasoning. And in doing so, they miss the whole thing about awakening. They don't get it. So let me say this to you. Childs, when a person is done with the conflict of their thinking and they are no longer engaged in the mesmeration of it, being mesmerized by it, when they are no longer so narcissistic they think that their thoughts are everything and that they're the grand truth of life, when a person no longer does that, when they're not interested in being hypnotized by their own thinking and twerping those little genetic traits inside them, then something different can happen. Something more spiritual, more ethereal, more mystical. You start to realize deep inside there is another world that lives within a person, within any person. And you don't have to live your life in accord with what you've been taught to believe or what looks rational to you, what looks right to you. You don't have to live in that. Now, should you wish to do this that I'm speaking of, you're going to be stepping out of a lot of things that most people take for granted and actually believe is happening. So what is it you really want to achieve here? That is the question. Do you really want to know the truth? And here is one of the basic problems, and I'm just going to say it because, to be frank, is to be forthright, as it were. Most people think they're infallible. They think that their logic and their reasoning is absolutely the cat's meow, the end-all of end-alls. They really believe that what they think and what they've come to reason through logic is absolutely true. They don't go any further, any deeper, anywhere past their ideas, their ideals, their beliefs, their sanctions, their mental sanctions. It almost is the fear of being stupid. They're afraid they're being stupid if they accept or at least explore a world that lives beyond their mind within themselves. They can't handle it. They make what I teach, what other teachers teach that are authentic, and there are very few of them, a philosophy. People used to always say to me, well, Greg, what's your philosophy? I don't have a philosophy. I don't teach philosophy. And you go to college to have that. I took philosophy courses in college, and they were useless. They were interesting. They were little introductions of this, that, and the other. But they didn't change a person's life. They're not meant to. They're an introduction. They are like, this is the flavor of the month, and this is the flavor of the week, and this is the flavor of the day, and yada-da, yada-da. They're trailers to the movies. And if you don't understand that and you think that your mind is right by taking the practice of spiritual awakening to the level of a philosophy, then you have missed, and you have missed badly. And if you want to miss, there's all sorts of ways to do it. I guarantee it, there's all sorts of ways. But for the most part, the reason you don't understand it, you struggle with it, is that what you are trying to do with meditation and inner work, awakening, does not coincide with the way you were taught to use your mind. You were taught to use your mind in a certain way, and that's the way of the way for you, your family way, your genetics. And if you continue to live in that kind of obstruction, you will miss. You will miss your entire life. We have all missed our entire lives until we awaken. And the sad part about it all is that if you don't have the ilk to persevere beyond logic and reasoning, beyond good and bad, beyond right and wrong, beyond the whole idea of what seems to be happening and what really is happening, you're going to find deep, deep, deep problems in your life. And you'll cruise through your life, but you will never know what your life was all about. And that's a tragedy, a real tragedy. So there you are. I deeply respect your confusion. And maybe this lifetime, that's what you're supposed to be. I don't know. You're to be confused. I see a lot of my students are that they're trying to mix the outer world with the other shore. They can't do it. They frustrate themselves. They want some kind of proof of the pudding. They want a change in their outer life. They think, oh, if I do this, then my husband or my wife or my children, there's a lot of hope in all of that, and just it doesn't exist. So there you are, my friend. I wish you well, wherever you live, and thank you for listening, and please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Carol. She lives in Texas, and she says, I respect others, but I can't when they are so wrong to me. What am I to do with those who are obviously wrong? Carol. What did Jesus say? Forgive them that misuse you, that despitefully use you. What was the teaching? Carol, we live in a very difficult world. It isn't just this country, like you say in your email. You're very politically oriented, I can see. But it is interesting to see how your mind works about what is right. So you see and you hear people say things that you think are wrong. Well, there's going to be a lot of people like that in your day. And I'm sure you acknowledge that and can understand that. But you have to go deeper and further. You have to see what makes people tick, what they're after. And Carol, because they didn't learn how to use their mind well, they jump to all sorts of conclusions and philosophies and beliefs. And then when they find out that they may not be so true, they don't admit it. They fight for it. They fight to prove that they're right. And for what? That's the question. For what? So hear me on this. Come to no conclusions. Do not get into conflicts with your mind. Don't talk to it. Don't argue with it. Don't do any of that with it. Just let your mind ramble on, and you will find something very interesting if you don't talk to your mind. You will suddenly realize it'll go on and on and on in a conversation that isn't happening. You will actually realize that this thing will go on and on, talking, screaming, yelling, theorizing, all of that stuff with someone who's not there. If you're not arguing, it'll just go on and on and on. Eventually, if you really can think in third person, not speak to your mind back and forth and engage in the conflict of it, creating what you think of as the logic and reasoning for your mind, you will soon find within yourself something very interesting happening. You will start to understand. It can go on and on and on because it has a life of its own, and it doesn't matter whether you're there or not. It won't matter. It'll still go on thinking the way it does. All it wants to do is yak. Yak, yak, yak. So, when you're no longer interested in the yakking in the mind that is saying yes, no, good, bad, right, wrong, you say you respect others, but you can't when they're so wrong to you. When you can let people be wrong because our minds aren't any different than them. My mind is no different than the person who would be radically opposed to what I am teaching. My mind is my mind. It's a human mind. I don't engage it. I don't care to. I seek the calm abiding of quiet. And if you seek the calm abiding of quiet, you will awaken. You will find meditation being very, very helpful. It isn't a relaxing thing like people will tell you. The pedestrian mentality is always looking for relief from itself. It isn't relaxing. It is penetrating. And when it penetrates past my ego, past my vanity, past my pride, past the emperor of all malice that lives within me, and I am no longer interested in finding the energy to fight and be contrary to love, that is when something of the other shore can reach you. Something magnificent can start to happen. We don't understand ourselves. We don't understand our genetics. We don't understand how the mind works. We don't understand the chemistry in our brain. We just don't understand any of it. And frankly, we don't give a damn. We just don't. We just want what we want as quickly as we can get it. And our opinions are steadfast. So there you are. Oh, Carol. Don't get involved in your thinking. Get involved in your quiet, in your silence. Get involved in the quietude of your heart. If you can go there and sacrifice whatever needs to be sacrificed for the sake of your own awakening, then you are in a very interesting position. Then Something new will open up. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Jonathan. He does not tell me where he lives. I know lots of people who meditate, and they aren't any better than me, and they don't have any more than me, and they aren't any different than me. So why should anyone bother to meditate? Jonathan. Jonathan, I don't know these people. I don't know what they're using and talking about as meditation. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but most people don't have a teacher. They have instructions, but they don't have a teacher. So because they don't have a teacher, they don't really meditate. A teacher keeps you on point. That's my job, to keep my students on point. But if you just say, oh, I don't need a teacher, I can just read this book or that and learn how to meditate, you can't. You need a teacher. Whether you like it or not, you need a teacher. Now, until you come to the place where you need a teacher and you realize it, all you're going to do and your friends are going to do is just dangle around in philosophy and try to measure the worth of their efforts by how relaxed they are. So, what can I say to you, but I hope you can listen and hear this. They're probably not meditating. We don't meditate for benefit. I don't sit and meditate for the benefit. I sit and meditate, and I teach my students this as well, for harmony. Harmony with life. To find that calm abiding within me and to follow it with all of my heart, my soul, my strength. Just to sit in harmony, resonating to tones that are harmonic, taking my attention away from my mind and putting it on the vibration of tone, of texture, where all of a sudden tone turns to light inside, tone turns to compassion, tone turns to forgiveness. And these are not thoughts. These are just the way one lives from within oneself. These are not philosophies or rules. To enter into the tone of meditation is to surrender all of my hate, my fear, my anger, my judgments, to absolutely let go of everything, and to be willing to submit myself in surrender to the calm abiding of love, of silence. It is only in silence that we overcome ourselves. If I have not attained to silence, I will only be subject to thought. And thought can be many different things, usually not very productive when it comes to spiritual awakening. So you've got to decide what you want to work on inside yourself. Don't look at people who meditate and ask, well, are they better than me? You're just in conflict. You're trying to find reason and logic for doing something that your mind cannot find reason and logic in. It will never want to meditate. Believe me, it never will. So if you really want to understand the nature of meditation, you have to ask yourself, have I had enough of my own thinking? Have I had enough of the way I think, how I think, and even why I think? And if you haven't had enough, it's not time for you to meditate. It is only when you are thoroughly fed up, absolutely fed up with the way your mind is, and you wish to transcend it, not change it, but transcend it. You can do this. It takes a little practice, though. I'm out of here. Thank you, Jonathan, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I have more for tomorrow. Oh, yes. Tomorrow's questions will be, What is real truth? So we'll take a look at that. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.